It's crazy. Hey, Connor, are you there, bud?
To listen to the rap in my own voice.
Yeah, that rap is pretty awesome. They did a really good job on that production.
Yeah.
So much
yeah,
so, sure. So popular, such a weird, nerdy thing was so popular. I mean, they even made a second one.
Yeah, they did. In fact, I think the second one's even better. And I'm so excited for when I see projects like that because they're creative, they're catchy, they're innovative, and it spreads the message further. It's not some big, thick book that you're telling someone to read. It's this catchy rap that is instilling, even if only subconsciously, some points for Austrian economics. You know, I thought it was a wonderful job.
Yeah, and I mean, it's along the lines with also Atlas Shrugged and this kind of resurgence in popular culture of people like you and me actually being represented, that we don't have to just be putting up with total socialist claptrap all the time.
Well, yeah, and it's making liberty popular, right? It's not just being on the defensive, but it's innovative ways of going on the offense. And
yeah.
So I love stuff like that. And, you know, exactly what I want to talk about is an extension of what you've been talking about on and on throughout your show. I've been tuning in this afternoon, and that is Hayek and basically some of the lessons we learn from him. Now, I've been critical in the past of Hayek. You know, I started reading The Road to Serfdom, and he starts advocating for socialism light and welfare programs and stuff. And so by no means do I consider him to be politically spot on, but in terms of his economics, he's you know, his contributions cannot go unnoticed at all. And in fact, as you've noted now, they were noticed. Today's the anniversary of him receiving the Nobel Prize, and as you also noted, maybe that prize doesn't mean so much because it's given out to all sorts of people who should not be awarded anything.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, right? Because it's like you get like a Milton Friedman or a Hayek getting it, and you're like, yay! And then it's like Yasser Arafat?
Right.
Obama?
Wah, come on, man.
Yeah, it's like totally pulls the rug out of any coolness. Most people don't know that, so it's
sure.
Impressive to them, but yeah, it's definitely been tainted, unfortunately.
Well, and one of the interesting things that I've found is over the years I've been studying Austrian economics is how unmainstream it is, that it is not part and parcel of the mainstream professional economics industry. It does not follow the formulaic, neat little patterns that the mainstream economists try and set up, which is exactly what Hayek was going after. But it's really a mixture of so many fields of study. It's not just economics of supply and demand curves. It is basically championed on the shoulders of Mises. It is essentially a study not of numbers and data and formulas, but of human action, of praxeology. And so it's interesting. As I get in discussions with many people, people want to do something. They want to see some economic response or policy, when in many ways the liberty, the free market principle is the absence of any action, the absence of any control trying to impose upon other people to guide their behavior. And so Austrian economists have been criticized many times over the years because much of their response can be boiled down to, stop doing that, you know,
right.
Don't do that, that doesn't work. Let people do what they will, you know, because ultimately, as on your show, you've tried to guide it more towards, you know, finance and economics and things, but really, you know, in Austrian economics, you can't separate the economic field from human action, from politics, essentially, from what individuals do and why they do it. And so this is, you know, I'm not a numbers guy. I mean, I did a bunch of math. I'm a computers guy. So I have to be up to speed on math and finance and things like that. So it's not that I have an aversion to numbers, but it doesn't speak to me the same way as praxeology generally does. Understanding why people do the things they do and understanding why these responses that politicians try and impose will not work, have not worked, and are not currently working. And you mentioned it before, it's worth mentioning again, the title of the speech that Hayek gave, I believe it was an acceptance speech, right, when he received the Nobel speech called
yes.
The Pretense of Knowledge.
And to be honest, that's like, it's such an important topic. That's what this whole show is about, mental self-defense, is the pretense of knowledge and what is really knowledge.
Well, and, you know, it's a fascinating thing. One of the excerpts I love, and there's several that I want to call out as we get into it today, but in 1974, of course, he was attacking all the policies back then, but it was so prescient, the way, the application that his statements have, even more so to our own day. So, that, you know, he says the condition back in his day, quote, has been brought about by policies which the majority of economists recommended and even urged governments to pursue. We have indeed at the moment lost pride. As a profession, we have made a mess of things. And that's the end of his quote. He's going after his fellow economists for trying to compel government action when what he's saying is it's actually the reverse that's going to help. We need to get government intervention away, pull it out of the economy, let people behave as they will, as they peaceably wish to, in whatever form they want to. It is then that we'll have a free market. It is then that we'll have prosperity. This pretense of knowledge that he's attacking is that economists think that they can control human behavior by applying an aggregate formula and dictating that, you know, the net sum of what a bunch of individuals are going to do when you cannot put human beings into a formula. You cannot build an equation that way.
Yeah, I mean, this is the interesting thing that I find, given that, you know, my entry into finance and eventually getting my master's in financial math and doing this stuff professionally, building models, and I mean big ones at very high levels, what I find very interesting is that there is kind of this convergence of mathematicians that are coming to the same conclusions Hayek came to and Mises without the mathematics. And I'm talking specifically about guys like Nassim Taleb, Benoit Mandelbrot, and their fractal finance, that this idea and this new science is kind of, no pun intended, emergence of how spontaneous orders are created and chaos theory. All these things, it's very interesting because to me, it shows the quality and depth of the thinking of people like Mises and Hayek, and just because they didn't put it into formulas, other people can do that, and they still are talking about essentially a lot of the same things.
Interesting. No, and I think that's great. I think the central point that Hayek tried to make, as he says in his Pretense of Knowledge speech, he says that in the study of such complex phenomena as the market, which depend on the actions of many individuals, all the circumstances which will determine the outcome of a process will hardly ever be fully known or measurable. Yes, maybe we can, you know, boil it down into a formula, but in the end, these are people we're talking about. And while things may or may not work in the aggregate, ultimately what we're dealing with is imposing policies upon individuals who may or may not act in a certain way. It is the pretense of knowledge for a bureaucrat or a politician to say, well, if we raise the tax this much, people will do this, or if we provide this subsidy or this incentive, then this many jobs will be created. And yet we see it permeating the political class today, the desire to guide the economy, to create jobs, to boost and promote industry. Here in Utah especially, the government is all about, you know, entrepreneurialism, supposedly creating jobs, incentivizing people, and yet you have the governor's Office of Economic Development using tax subsidies and waivers and things to try and incentivize and boost business. It is a pretense of knowledge, and that's exactly what Hayek was going after. I think he was ahead of his time, and yet the past 30, 40 years have given us so many more examples of what he was going after in his own day.
Yeah, this is interesting because, you know, you take statistic, you take off the IC, and you got statist. So, you know, I think that's somewhat telling, really. And, you know, you have to understand that even like Murray Rothbard, his undergraduate degree was in math. So these guys that are talking about being tough on these mathematical models in Austria, they're doing so from a real sense of knowledge of what you can know and what you can't know, and stop fooling people with the BS. Guys, come on back. Middle of the Boyack Review, talking the pretense of knowledge right here, Mental Self Defense Radio, 630, Boise, Utah. All right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self Defense Radio. I am your host, Jake Shannon. Talking today, we got Connor Boyack, Tuesday, 2 o'clock, the Boyack Review, as we do all the time. Connor, how did it go subbing in for Phil Pop, by the way?
It was good. And in fact, I was going to tie in some of what we were talking about to what we're talking about here and show kind of the bridge that I want to take us from talking about Hayek to the other issues that I wanted to apply it to. And before doing that, I wanted to share one more quote from his acceptance speech for the Nobel Prize. Very short one, but it's a very well-known one, and it's part of the rap that you were playing earlier, where he says that the curious task of economics is to demonstrate to men how little they really know about what they imagine they can design. trying to debunk the theories and the formulas that the mainstream economists are saying, oh, but look, if you just spend this much more money or have this policy, look how wonderful and utopian life will be. And then you have the Austrian economists on the sidelines saying, nope, don't do that, don't do that, it's wrong, it's going to be a bubble, it's going to burst. We see this, and what I was trying to describe on Morgan's show, we were talking about the war on drugs and how these policies aren't just some abstract, theoretical, superficial, you know, policies that don't affect too many people, or if they do, then it's not that big a deal. These have real consequences. We talked about the Matthew David Stewart case in Ogden, who, you know, he's sitting in jail, the guy's home is invaded while he's asleep, he fires back thinking he's being invaded, he ends up wounding several cops and killing one. He was wounded himself. And whether, you know, that raid was legitimate or not, these policies have real consequences. I wanted to humanize these policies, these laws that people so blindly support. And when we talk about Hayek and say that, you know, these are just economics, and he's telling the mainstream economists that, you know, theirs is a pretense of knowledge, they don't really know what they're controlling, well, what is it that these economists are doing? What is it that Hayek is going after? It's not just, should we have a fair tax or a flat tax or a 10% rate or an 8% rate? We're not just, you know, tweaking things on the borders of policy. These economic policies aren't just about numbers. It's not about how much money you get in your paycheck. It's about people's lives. It's about, you know, how much money is being taken from them by the government. It's about what the government is financing and what programs they're doing and what businesses they're subsidizing. These affect people's lives. And as I was thinking about Hayek and some of these arguments he was making because of his anniversary today, I couldn't help but relate it to foreign policy. I mean, so many things, I think, relate to that, but specifically with sanctions. So right now, everyone knows what's, or most people at least, know what's going on in Iran, and they know that all the saber rattling is happening, and that Obama is just as aggressive as Bush was, and Romney is promising to be even more so. And the context of these sanctions is always that they're economic. Oh, you know, we don't have boots on the ground, we're not killing people, we're not carpet bombing their country. You know, it's just economic sanctions. We're just trying to weaken their economy so that the government will listen and, you know, stop pursuing a nuclear bomb. Well, what is the economy? It's these abstractions, I think, in many cases that Hayek was going after, and his contemporaries as well, to say it's not this abstract. Says in other cases, it's not a car that, you know, this engine that you just start and you can tweak and fix and do this and that to get the economy working again. The economy is people. It's individuals. It's real human beings like you and I, even though they may live elsewhere or look differently or have a different religion or whatever. But these ultimately are individuals. And so when you have someone like a Mitt Romney who vows to impose, quote, crippling sanctions on Iran, what are crippling sanctions? What is he trying to do to their, quote, unquote, economy? They are claiming that, oh, these economic penalties that we're imposing, and these embargoes that we're doing. Right now there's the currency riots that are going on because the CIA and other sources are flooding the Iranian economy with paper money. I think it's in the past week the rial has dipped by 40%, so their currency is just inflating like crazy, and we're seeing kind of a Weimar Germany microcosm happening where people – Their markets are totally shutting down because no one can set the price and know what something is worth because they don't know what the currency is worth. All of these things affect people's lives. And we have previous history to understand what sanctions do, that these aren't just policies that don't affect too many people and we're just talking about a quote-unquote economy. When you look at Iraq, there was, I think, 11 years of sanctions on Iraq prior to 9/11, prior to the war going into Iraq. Over a decade of sanctions, similar sanctions, trying to punish the Iraqi regime and go after Saddam and try and get him to listen. Of course, he was our ally previously, but
yeah, of
that's a completely separate point, sort of. But we have a decade's worth of sanctions to look at there. And what happened, right? And if any of your listeners, I know you know, Jake, but if any of your listeners don't understand the moral and tangible implications of what sanctions do, go just Google Iraq sanctions, or if you want to get right to the heart of the matter, search Iraq sanctions children. Because what happened is every single year, tens of thousands of Iraqis died as a result of sanctions. Because what are sanctions? It is imposing embargoes and preventing access to even the most basic of supplies. medicine, food, the very necessities that are needed for subsistence. And so tens of thousands, ultimately hundreds of thousands of people, especially children, died in Iraq as a result of what Romney would call crippling sanctions. We are killing, by supporting these policies, innocent individuals. This is the pretense of knowledge to claim that, well, we're going to have regime change and the people will fight back against their government because they'll want us to stop the sanctions. The pretense of knowledge isn't only for economists. It's equally for these politicians, people who are implementing economic policies, someone like a Barack Obama or a Mitt Romney. It is the pretense of knowledge for them to suppose that by imposing this economic policy that a certain outcome is going to be produced when they don't understand the individual behavior of the people who are being punished, right? You look at Cuba, over 50 years of an embargo against Cuba, and what's happened? Have we had any regime change there? Have the people risen up against the government as our government supposedly wanted them to do by punishing them? No, right? We have all this animosity. People are horribly suffering. The government has been entrenched even more because it can keep the people in poverty, and the people are too poor and hungry to do anything about it other than worry about what they're going to eat and how they're going to survive. You look at Iran, people think this is often about food and medicine, and it is, but you look at Iran, I think it was what I read recently is like 25,000 people have died in the past several years because of an embargo on plane parts. Just the civilian airplane fleet, they can't even get parts, and so planes are breaking up and crashing and people are dying. For example, the United States has prohibited companies like Boeing from selling parts to Iran. And so it's not just food and medicine. It's access to the most basic of supplies and materials that they need to go on with their daily lives. We're talking about Iranians, innocent Iranians, right? Our government is doing horrible things. That doesn't mean that we are all horrible people. To the contrary, in so many cases, the government doesn't at all represent the people. People think that Iranians, you know, you might have a Candace Salima, right, who thinks that all of Iran probably should be nuked like she thought about Libya.
Yeah, including the little babies and the children and the people who protest their own government like we protest ours here.
Right. It's insane to lump them all together, and yet that's what these policies do. They need to be humanized, which is what I was trying to do on Morgan's show. These type of policies cannot remain in the abstract and theoretical. When we talk about the economy or economic policies or crippling sanctions, ultimately, what we're talking about is harming or ultimately killing innocent, completely innocent individuals. So to me, Hayek is prophetic in the sense that so much of what he said applies not just to economics, not just to the boring field of talking about, you know, subsidies and tariffs and taxes and things that put people to sleep, but things that affect real people, people that I know, people that I know of, people that are just as human and just as entitled to their life, liberty, and property as the rest of us. And so the problem that I have is the malapplication of what many people claim to believe in, right? The free market and liberty and peace. And yet people don't make the connection that when Obama or Romney say crippling sanctions on Iran, that they are in fact endorsing war, that they are endorsing aggression, and that they are themselves embracing what Hayek called the pretense of knowledge to claim that, oh, but, you know, the government says that we need to do this so that they don't pursue the bomb. Well, we don't know that, and it quite likely may be that imposing these sanctions provides even more fuel for them to go ahead and create the bomb so that we lay off and take the sanctions down and stop treating them as a bully. So Hayek's contributions, I think, should not be applied only to economics, as many times they are, but anything that has to do with economics, which, as we said towards the beginning, ultimately is everything. It's human action. These policies have very real consequences, and so we can't let them just, you know, remain about the numbers. A historical example that I thought of, tangentially, was during World War II when the government imposed a salary freeze, right? Salary caps and salary freezes. And so what happens? Well, employers still want to attract good talent. They still want to find people out there and incentivize them to come work for them as opposed to their competitor. So that's when they started offering health care as a benefit to come work for them. And ever since then, we've had health care associated with employment, something which many people rightly criticize, because when you leave your job, in many or most cases, you have to leave behind your health care program. And so it's this fatal conceit, these horrible programs that have unintended consequences that government bureaucrats, politicians need to be made to understand that their perceived outcome is likely never going to come to pass. the supposedly intended consequences of their policies, whether it's job growth or reducing the unemployment rate or tampering inflation or what have you, ultimately, because they're talking about controlling individual people, they may work towards that intended effect, but there are always going to be these unintended consequences, whether it's something like, you know, healthcare associated with a job, which ultimately isn't as big a deal, or tens, hundreds of thousands of people dying because of these crippling sanctions that people think were just harming the economy, and they don't translate that to, they don't translate that to harming actual individual people. So yes, many people have a pretense of knowledge, but it's not just academic, it's not just theoretical. We're talking about people's lives, their liberties, their property, and to the extent that we don't understand what Hayek was teaching, and more importantly, don't apply what Hayek was teaching, we're going to be endorsing all of these flawed programs that attempt to control people's behavior that ultimately lead to just massive death and destruction.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, and this is why I'm so, this show, if there's two emphases, it's on economics and psychiatry, largely, because of Hayek and Saz. But they're seeing the same exact problem, this pretense of knowledge. And it just, it's this problem with this mismatch between rhetoric and reality. And whether that rhetoric is a statistical model or some fancy mathematical equation, it's still just letters and numbers and symbols, and it doesn't necessarily have to match reality. And just because XYZ, some person listening, is intimidated by numbers, it doesn't mean that it's true, or that you use some fancy word like bipolar, right, that it means it's an actual illness as defined by somatic pathology. These are really serious problems. It's what this whole show is about getting people to really understand deeply how the wool is pulled over their eyes, and so much of it is done with language and symbols and stuff like this. This is a really deep topic, and I'm glad you brought it up today.
No, I think that's exactly right. I had to chuckle. I wish I could find it and easily refer people to it, but with some Googling, you could find it. It was an interview, I think, with Diane Sawyer. I don't remember, but it was Alan Greenspan giving an interview, and he was shown a clip of a previous congressional testimony he had given years previously, where he said the most inane things that didn't make any sense. And they chuckled about it as they were watching this interview, and he openly admitted in the interview to completely obfuscating any fact, any bit of information with all this rhetoric and language that made absolutely no sense.
Yeah,
that is what we need to go after.
I 100%. Great, great segment today, Connor.